All right, you can go ahead and be seated. Open with me over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it says simply this, all Scripture, everybody say all.
All
Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice that. You know, you hear people say all the time, well, you know, the Bible is just a man-made book. It's just a man-written book. It is. Men wrote it. They penned it down, but it was by the inspiration of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how they did it. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Now, the Word of God has been given to you and I, and the Word of God has been given to balance us, to center us, to help us to stay where we need to be. You know, I was thinking about this. We don't want to be fleshly, and we don't want to be flakes. Right? Come on, we don't want to get fleshly and do things that God doesn't want us to do that don't line up with the Word. But at the same time, we don't want to get over here and act like we're all this spiritual and we're hearing all things, all these from God, and this is going on, and we're this spiritual. And all. See, because you get flaky over on that side. There's a balance. There's you can stay in order with the Word of God, and that's what God wants you and I to do. He wants us to stay in the middle, keep ourselves lined up with His Word, and as long as we do that, you know, we're going to be right where God wants us to be. We'll be centered right in the middle of His perfect will. Now, go with me over here to James chapter 1, because I want to show you this, because we have to understand when it comes to the Word of God, you and I can't waver. Did you hear what? You can't waver. That's so many Christians have, especially with the times we're living in now, we've gotten to this place to where, you know, when somebody has a difference of opinion to us, then we're kind of like, well, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, you could look at it that way. But if the Word says it, you can't look at it any other different way than the Word does. Amen. And I understand somebody's point of view about their opinion, but it does not change the Word of God. Come on, and so we have to understand that. So look here what James said. Now, James actually talking about, you know, if any man lacks wisdom, but in verse 6 here, we'll pick it up there, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. See, when we start getting wishy-washy about the Word, when we start getting to that place to where, you know, well, maybe you're there right, maybe I'm right. No, the Word is right. Let me give that to you in the Amplified, okay? James 6 through 8 says, only it must be in faith that he asked with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Man, that's an indictment, isn't it? See, when we get to where we're doubting the Word of God and we're waving on the Word of God, what the Amplified says basically is this. If you can't be trusted with the Word of God, how can I trust you with anything? If you can't be settled on the Word of God, then anything you have an opinion about can be swayed. Right? Because the Word of God's forever settled in the heavens. And if we got God's Word, we know God said it, He meant it, we have that Word. So if we're unstable about that, then that means we're probably unstable about everything in our life. And so that's what he's saying here. So we have to be careful that we're not wavering. We have to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. And when we don't, then we're wavering. Right? Well, I'm going to go with this for just a second. But let's take healing. Now, we know 1 Peter 2:24, right? Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Right? We know that scripture. We know that's a healing scripture for us. that we, the New Testament church, can take that and declare our healing. We also know that Matthew 8:17 says this, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, right? We believe those scriptures, but here's the thing. Why is it that we're not healed immediately if we believe those things? See, because we have to rightly divide the word of truth. We have to take that word and stay centered because, see, here's the thing about healing is there's a difference between healing and a miracle. Okay? And see, that's where when you don't know how to stay centered and rightly divide the word of truth, somebody prays with you about healing, you know, you're expecting something to happen just like that. You want it instantaneously. Well, you see, here's the thing. A miracle takes place instantaneously. But healing, many times, is over a process of time. Many times, even though you're prayed for, healing is spoken over you, you're believing for healing, you speak the word over yourself, there is still sometimes that process of faith taking place. And see, if we don't know how to stay centered and stay confessing that word, even though we've not seen a manifestation yet, come on now. I'm going to tell you something. For believers, that's the hardest part of their faith is when it doesn't happen when they thought it would. Doesn't happen a miracle. They didn't get the miracle. It didn't happen immediately. Now they've got to stand on what they said. Stand on what the Word said. Stand on what they believed. And continue to confess that they're the healed of God even when they don't feel like they're healed. You see, that's when the mind wants to waver. Because the body is screaming, I'm not healed, I'm not healed. But in your spirit, you know you've already spoken it out and declared it. And you know that the Word is not a lie. And you believe the Word. So you have to continuously just keep confessing that Word. And see what happens. I don't ask again. Because if I ask again, here I am wavering. Because I've already asked once. Now I'm thanking God. I'm praising God. It's like Pastor Ed was talking about dancing, praising God. You do it whether you feel like it or not. I'm rejoicing that I'm healed whether I feel a thing in my body or not. You see, and that's how we stay centered with the Word of God. We're not declaring a lie because folks would say, well, no, you're a liar. You're not healed. Oh, yes, according to the Word, I'm already healed. And my manifestation might not have manifested yet, but as far as God's concerned, I'm healed. As far as His Word's concerned, I'm healed. And as far as I'm concerned, I've already said it, I'm healed. Now, it's just got to show up and manifest, and it will. It will, I said. Come on, why? Because God's not a man that He can lie. So He's not going to lie about this thing. So when it comes to being centered, when it comes to being balanced, we have to know how to take these scriptures and rightly divide them and understand the difference between a miracle, the difference between a healing, and the time there is between the fact that I've confessed my healing and the manifestation comes. Now I'm going to show you a familiar scripture. Jump over here to 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay. Now let's just jump to Hebrews chapter 10. I'll go ahead and get to that one. Hebrews chapter 10, because I want you to see this, because healings do take time, and I want to show you what the Word says. Hebrews 10:35. I was going to take you over there and just go ahead and read about, you know, the difference between healings and miracles, but you know that. But look at this. He says, cast not away, therefore, verse 35, Hebrews 10, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Notice that. See, what he's saying here, folks, is you cannot get double-minded. You cannot get unbalanced about this. You cannot cast away your confidence. I believe the Word of God, and therefore, I'm going to stand on that Word of God because I have to be patient until I receive my promise. Amen. That patience, I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to that, we have to understand that everything happens in God's timing, not ours. Right? Come on now. And now sometimes we want things immediately, but you see, God knows what we need, when we need it, and God will do it the way He wants to, when He wants to. Amen. So He goes on here then, and He says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and shall not tarry. I see that? It goes on and says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We don't let up. We just keep right on pushing. We just keep on thanking God. Because, see, this process here, this after we've done the will of God, having patience until it manifests, that's pretty well everything that pertains to the things of God. This is part of that process. Amen. The process is the same. Now, again, miracles instantly. But most everything else is that process of doing what the Word of God says, because that after you've done the will of God, we know the will of God is the Word of God, right? So we know that after we've done the will of God, then we patiently wait until the promise comes. No matter what that promise is we're believing for, what the process is, what it is we're believing for, whether it's healing, whether it's finances, whether it's for a loved one to be saved. Come on, our family coming in. You keep calling them saved. I hope this is all right, but Brother Charles has talked about when he and Bonnie was talking about Tracy and Virtue and the family, you know, they just kept calling them in, kept believing for them, you know. Now, they was in other places, you know, and Charles would look at Bonnie, and Bonnie basically was the one responsible, because Charles was, he was kind of a waverer. Okay, in that area. But Bonnie kept standing her gun. She said, they will be there with us. And they're with them. Now they're deacons in the church, praise God. You know, but they never let off of that. You see, you can't waver on things. You have to stay strong on that. When we have somebody that's lost in our family, you don't just throw them away. You keep standing. You stay in faith and you believe God. Now that won't make God save them. You understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're standing in faith, you're giving God permission to turn up the heat on them. Amen. Now, they'll still have to decide what they're going to do, because God won't make them do anything. And see, that's one of the things that a lot of folks kind of get messed up with as far as staying centered too. They think that God will make them get saved. They think God will make them come up front. They think God will make them. They'll see something. They'll do something. And that's all due to error. False doctrine that's been taught, you know, people that have given, you know, well, you know, when the time comes, you'll know it. Well, the Bible says today's the day. Right? Now's the time. Yeah, so see, that's not doctrinally correct. That's not being centered. That's not being balanced. That's you saying something you don't know what you're talking about. Right now's the time. So we got to make sure that we're standing with them, when we make sure that we are talking to them. Listen, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, was placed in the tomb on the third day, He rose again. If you believe that and confess Him as Lord, you're saved. There ain't no waiting. There ain't no doubt. Right? Yeah, but now you know the Lord's got to draw you. Well, if you're grown enough to say, I believe that, He's drawing you. Because I'm going to tell you something. If He wouldn't draw you, you wouldn't want nothing to do with the Lord. Wouldn't want nothing to do with being saved. Right? See, that's why it's so important that we need to be centered and be able to look at things and understand that God is always moving on our behalf. And God is always drawing. He's always working. We just got to get lined up with the Word and be patient until that manifestation comes. Now, Hebrews 10:22-23 says this: let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Well, wonder what an evil conscience would be. Well, an evil conscience is a conscience of unbelief. Don't necessarily mean something bad or something dirty or something demonic. An evil conscience can be a conscience that's just a conscience of unbelief. Amen. And see, so he says we've got to make sure that we don't have that kind of conscience, that evil conscience, but we've got to make sure that we're holding fast to our profession of faith without wavering. Because He is faithful. See, it's not what you and I are going to do. It's what He's going to do. Right? Amen. And so we have to understand that God works differently in different ways with different people. The way He dealt with me might not be the way He dealt with you. Now, I probably somewhere along the lines, I really hate to do it, but it's just burning on the inside of me to talk about this, because I love that God started giving me this illustration, and later on you may get to hear it again, but He started showing me something. Pastorette and I were looking through. We have one of my cousins does a lot of auctions and things, and he posted the other day on Facebook. And I'd like to have two of them for illustration right now, and I thought about that. But he posted on Facebook a Stanley coffee cup mug. Remember the thermoses? Okay. He posted one on Facebook, and it had a cork stopper. A cork stopper. And I thought, man, that thing is old. You know, that thing's been around a while. You know, and it's up for auction, by the way. You can get on there and auction it. I'm not trying to give you business, but that's okay if you want to go over there. And, you know, you might know what that's worth. I figure it's worth quite a bit because of it being that kind of, okay. But here's the funny thing, okay. So they're on there. You know, a lot of them, they get into the auctions. They're all on there talking and they're getting on there. And somebody gets on there and says, hey, my granddaughter's wanting one of them. And Pastor Ed just starts laughing. You know, and then after a while, somebody else posts and says, this is what your granddaughter wants. And it's one of the new Stanley. Anybody seen the new ones? I mean, the thing that everybody's went crazy about, you know, the pink ones and the purdy ones. And, the, you know, it's just, I don't look nothing like the old one. Okay. But here's what God said. You listen to this now. God spoke to me about this thing, and I don't know why. But again, it's staying centered about some things. But both of them are Stanley thermoses. Both of them were made for the same purpose. They're made to keep things hot, and they're made to keep things cold. They have the same purpose. But they draw two different generations. Think about this for a minute now. Same thing goes on the inside of them, something hot, something or cold. The one with the cork will do the same thing as the pretty pink one. But if you ask a young person, they want the pretty pink one, not that old green color. Not the one with the cork stuck in it. Right? What's going to do the same thing for them? Right? Now, here's the thing about that. You can probably buy one of the green ones a whole lot cheaper than you can buy one of the pink ones. Now, you probably can't buy the cork one that way, but I'm talking about the rest ones they make. What I'm trying to say is they serve the same purpose, but they catch two different audiences. See, that's the way the gospel is. Same gospel. But we got to be careful that we don't stay balanced enough and centered enough to understand that the gospel that got me is the same gospel that will get them. But we may have to make it look different to them than the way it was made look to me. See, when I heard the gospel, it's, you're going to hell. Right? Come on, for some of us older folks. I mean, old-time preachers, they didn't slack on none. They'd look at you in the back of that and he'd just point that finger at you and tell you how you're going to hell and, you know, you better... Right? Well, you know, today's generation, you probably won't... When you tell them they're going to hell, they're just going to turn you off. Today's generation, you've got to turn around and say, God loves you so much that Jesus died for you. He gave His life for you. You are loved. Same gospel, just looks different. Right? See, so when we talk about being self-centered, I mean being centered in the Word of God and being balancing the Word of God, that's part of that, is for us to know who it is we're talking to and what we need to say to them. Because there are some folks that you just have to get serious with. It's true. I mean, I've told you all this before. Sister Carl's dad, I just went in there into the intensive care room. He was dying. And I just looked him in the face and I said, listen, you're going to go to hell if you don't give your life to Jesus. I did. Now, I went to another hospital room one time to an elderly lady that all her life she had went up and give her hand in church and had never gotten saved. And for her, I didn't go tell her, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. You know what I told her? I said, you know, God loves you so much that you don't have to give your hand. All you've got to do is just give him your heart. I said, did you know all you've got to do is believe that he died on the cross for you, was placed in the tomb and rose on the third day? I said, I know you believe that, don't you? She said, yeah, I believe that. I said, well, all you got to do is confess him as your Lord then and you're saved. And she said, is it that easy? I said, it's just that easy. And there were some folks there that heard that and said, they started talking to her then and getting her distracted and got her away from it. They didn't believe it was that easy, you see, because they'd all been brought up the same way. You know, it's a hard old way and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. It couldn't be as easy as just believing and confessing. Even though the Word says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, they were more into their tradition and their belief than they were the Word of God. That's not the kind of centered I'm talking about. I'm talking about being centered in the Word, believing what the Word of God says. You see. So we've got to make sure that that's where we're there, and we're making sure that we don't have this evil heart of unbelief. We're not caught up in all of that. Now, we talked about this, the fact that a lot of people waver when they don't see immediate results. We looked at that. Now, Joshua, listen to this. Joshua was told in Joshua 1:7-9, God says to him, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then, notice that there's a time period here, notice there's a waiting, the patience of being in the Word, getting the Word in you, and believing and meditating on the Word. He didn't say it's going to happen to you immediately, Joshua. He says, you get in the Word, you meditate day and night. And then he goes on, he says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You see, if we'll believe the Word, stay centered in the Word, stay with God, I promise you, church, God will do His part. God will bring it to pass. Just remember that no matter what the devil's saying, no matter what people are saying, no matter what it looks like, you stay with the Word. Amen. Don't back away from the Word. Stay with the Word. Stay centered with the Word. And I promise you, you'll end up blessed. And you can walk away smiling and say, I got it. I got it. Right? Amen. Come on, stand up with me. We're going to go home. I don't want to keep you out too late tonight. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.